Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, welcome. Thanks, guys, for joining on, our last episode of the year. And you know what? Being the end of the year, I don't know about you guys, but I've got so many, like more than normal, kind of those end of year quick projects just from lots of clients. I mean, hey, can we get this in? I think some of it has to do with budget. You know, hey, I got to fit into my budget. But is that happening with you guys at all?
I've got a lot of clients wanting to spend money and prepay for next year. And I've had a lot of work the last couple months. So that hasn't let up. But people are wanting to resign contracts and wrap everything up. And some people, you know, final billing is beginning of December. Some people's final billing is like end of January. It's all very weird.
Let's not go into the whole billing thing. Yeah. I've been doing paperwork nonstop of trying to get through all the, well, you have those clients. You're like, okay, do we close it out at year end or do we roll it over? Cause the project isn't, like, some are really close to being finished. So,
yeah. I'll bill part of it and then the project
that's
continues.
What we're debating. Yeah. And we're trying to get the client's input. Like, do we or don't we? Because that's really not the project contract. How about you, Sandy? Lots of stuff?
Well, I know my clients or my accountant hates the pre-billing, especially if a client doesn't use it by year end. It really messes her up. But I'm actually working on two new conferences. I'm taking them on because I recently resigned my largest account. And
so you fired your client?
I did. I decided for all of my business partners and myself that it just wasn't worth the stress and stress, not in, you know, every project, any client can be stressful, right? We've all had tight deadlines, tensions rise, but it was just untrustworthy and I just couldn't work with that. So
like for the billables, client interaction or the project
client interaction. Requests? And so I would just encourage anyone out there, that, you know, it's just not worth it. We're all the three of us that were working together on this project are much happier now. And while we had decided that conferences weren't the thing we wanted to do, lo and behold, I have two conferences that I'm working on in January and February. Yes.
Of course you do.
Yep, exactly. Two different clients, potentially a third. So it that's fine. It's wonderful. We know how to do it. So we're glad to do it.
Right. And this is one of the reasons you work for yourself.
Exactly.
Right? You get to make some of those decisions.
We're doing lots of holiday fun. I mean, it's cheerful around our studio. What about you, Nolan?
What do I got going on? I'm booking trainings for 2018, which is nice. I picked up a really big agency client last year and we did a series of trainings around the country and they want to up that again this year. So
awesome.
I'm scheduling things out through the year. And my big question is, why are hotels so expensive in San Francisco? Like I spend more time trying to, you know, when I've got to book travel in the future, I spend more time like price shopping in San Francisco, which anyway.
Exciting. Hey, there's a fair amount of news happening year end.
So news, you can now use Microsoft Office on Chromebooks, apparently. So I hear. I have a Chromebook in the closet that we've never actually used. Not to say it's bad, but apparently Chromebooks run Android or a version of Android. So now Microsoft has released a Android version of apps. So anyway, we'll have a link to there. So if you have a Chromebook, you can now use them, I guess, the native apps, but also you can, of course, you can still use the online versions of Office as well. And always.
Well, I'm a little confused. I'm confused about that though. on my phone, am I using the online version on my Android?
No, it's a downloadable app. And, okay. And I got, you know what, we'll put that little news release. Where was it? It was on Lifehacker, the article that we're referencing. But anyways, so Nolan, this might not work. I'm actually looking at the article. There's a statement that just popped out at me. Not every Chromebook is capable of running Microsoft Office, however. Oh. So yours has been sitting in the closet?
Yeah, so probably not.
Did you know that if you have a screen larger than 10.1 inches, I'm trying to figure out how big that is. Is that like a small iPad? The iPad?
10.1, that sounds like the iPad Pro.
Oh, so that's big. Oh, that's big.
Yeah, that is big.
Oh, okay. Anyways, Microsoft has a thing that if it's going to be used on a screen larger than 10.1, it has to be Office 365 subscription, not the free versions.
What?
So like that, okay. Like, you know, on your phone, you can pull down the free. Now. It was just a little tidbit in that article. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Microsoft is making inroads to another thing, which it's probably for schools. Don't you think? I mean, Chromebooks to me are like school, like elementary.
Yep. But on the other hand, Microsoft officially is stopping support on a number of legacy apps. So for example, Word Viewer, PowerPoint Viewer, Excel Viewer, they're disappearing. And not only are the apps disappearing, links to them are going down. If this is something you've relied on in the past.
Sandy, I completely forgot about those things till you just, like, literally, I forgot that they're they had these viewers. So if somebody didn't have the application, they could still view your work. Wow.
Exactly. No, you don't need it. You have free apps. I'm sure that's why.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't need them anymore. All the online, it's not standalone. So if you don't have internet, you're not there. But everything is, you can open it up in your email now, viewer wise. But I think it's a big deal that Microsoft's actually, you can go back and find PowerPoint 2000 still. Microsoft never gets rid of anything. It's always there somewhere. But these are like gone, right? I mean, they're like wiped off the face of the internet.
Is this like the Soviet Union airbrushing like people out that they've
exactly.
killed? Like from photos.
So here's my other news thing. It's more of a question. Has anybody noticed, when you go into PowerPoint and you go into your account to see what build and version number you're on? I mean, I personally am constantly referencing that because people come up with troubleshooting questions and you got to know what version they're on. Then you got to know what build they're on. Then you got to know because, Insider or Monthly Targeted or whatever they call it now, it all keeps changing. Anyways, have you noticed that the build numbers keep going up, but sometimes features are disappearing or not everybody can be on like the same build, but not have the same features. I'm just noticing this.
You're just noticing it? Seriously, the whole inking.
Oh, and actually that's what I was noticing. A lot of conversation about inking and people are like, but I'm on that build and I don't have Glitter Pen.
Which I don't care about Glitter Pen, but I do care about being consistent, right?
Right. You can't troubleshoot if everybody's, So anyways, I've noticed I don't know if it's news, but it's just kind of like, it's timely. So I guess that's news.
Yeah. The worst word that I learned in the last year or two, or, being an MVP is regression. Right. You expect I know it's all software, but you expect things to only improve, not ever things to vanish or break with an update. So that seems to be happening more and more.
And that was a really good observation that you cannot force your computer to update. I mean, Microsoft has this, they do staggered rollouts so they can kind of test it. But with like Windows 10 Creator, we didn't get it, but I wanted it. So you could go and you could say, no, I'm saying I want it. So go ahead and give it to me. I'm pushing myself to the front of the line willingly. With Microsoft Office, you can't actually force an update to come to you. So if you're talking to somebody that has a higher version because they're on some sort of different rollout methodology, you can't. That's a kind of a big deal. Okay, this is our final podcast of 2017. I should probably rephrase that. It's not really our final podcast. It's just the last one of this year. 24 episodes this year. And our next episode actually starts season 3 because iTunes in the middle of this year suddenly decided you needed to have seasons. So in the middle of the year, we decided this was season 2 because we were in our second year. Nice. So season 3 starts with our next episode, which I will say we already have a full lineup of conversation topics for 2018. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, there's a lot to talk about in the presentation space. You know what? The other thing is please, if you're listening, thank you. But please let other creatives know of the podcast. Share us on social media. We don't advertise or take sponsorships. So really, it's up to everyone listening to make this a bigger conversation circle, which would be awesome. So being our end of year conversation, we are being, well, more conversational than even we typically are, just talking about the big things that have influenced us in design and presentation software use this past year. So the conversation is 2017.
Let me start. I bring it up in almost every podcast, but it's the Presentation Guild. The Guild completed its first full year of being a nonprofit trade association for presentation professionals. And clearly proud of that accomplishment. And we have bigger and better things planned for the next year.
Nice. I think this past year was where the Guild really came into its own. It's really helped sort of formally bring presentation pros together. We've had a couple of presentation summits, again, not affiliated, but always the one time of the year where most Guild members get together. So that was really nice this year. And just as a side note, I'm always promoting it and telling people, I don't know if you guys have any experience in the trial graphics world.
I do.
A relative of a friend of mine is actually writing supposedly the first book on trial graphic presentation. So I'm getting a copy of it soon. I'm going to read it. But I was talking to her and I know nothing about this world. And she was like listing off all these companies and design firms that just do trial graphics. I said, I don't know any of these guys, but they should be in the Guild. So that's another whole sort of niche area within presentation design that I think, I told her, I said, go to the Guild, become a member and get all your, designers to do it as well.
Absolutely. Wow. Sandy, I know you've done a lot of legal.
Oh, you have.
I have done quite a bit of legal, and there's special legal software, but for opening and closing statements, PowerPoint is still in high demand in that field. I've worked for years. My first client other than American Express Financial Advisors was a lawyer, and I helped him with his court cases, helped him win for his plaintiffs, multi-million-dollar court cases. But I think beyond bullet points,
yes,
that was not written for court cases, but became very, very popular after the lawyer who read that book and was in charge of the Vioxx case actually implemented beyond bullet points.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Cliff Atkinson. Mm-hmm.
Not been involved with it, and that's okay. But we've done a few things. We did some really cool animations to demonstrate accidents and how they happened and shouldn't have happened based on.
It's fun. Oh yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, I've done nothing in that world.
Well, going back to the original thing, Sandy, yes, the Presentation Guild is it's awesome. I mean, I'm really excited to have like industry representation, and I'm really liking the things there that the Presentation Guild is kind of focused on. Mm-hmm. A lot of webinars, which are, I mean, just amazing amounts of information for anybody in our industry. And the Q&A forum has actually really been fantastic. We being myself and Lori here at TLC and a couple others, it's really becoming more active than a lot of the Microsoft areas.
It is.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, but only Guild members can post questions. Can anybody read them?
No.
I don't actually know. So you have to be logged in.
That's right.
It's because it's literally you're asking questions directly to the industry. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. The conversations there are probably, well, they harken back to, almost a decade ago when there was actually news groups and there were really good threads of information. You could glean stuff. Now with Answers and a couple of the other forums out there, I think they're a little more diluted as far as, it's just, kind of mm-hmm. point and click, here's your answer and move on. This one, yeah, I'm really liking. The Guild has adding a lot to the industry.
Yeah, I'm never on the boards as much as I should be.
But you both are very involved, and we really, really appreciate what you've been able to contribute over the past year. Thank you.
I'm hosting another webinar on Thursday.
Yep.
So are you?
Well, I'm emceeing it. It's with Julie.
Yes. Speaking of webinars, seeing how you hosted this one, is Prezi making a comeback? I'm just using this as a tagline because you actually did the Prezi webinar, which was very cool, but did it ever really go away? Yeah. Is it making a comeback?
So Prezi had a So Prezi was in the news in 2017. They revamped their software and basically said, we're not going away. We're here. We're rewriting the software for better and worse. Some people liked the rewrite, some people didn't. But yeah, we did a webinar with Peter Arvai, who's the CEO. And basically, yes, Prezi is still around. I continue to have mixed feelings about it. I haven't done any Prezi work in a couple of years, and I just feel like it's...
I hear ya.
It's just, it continues to show its gimmickiness, if that's a word. Yeah. What do you think, Sandy?
No, I understand, and I agree with you. I haven't used it in a couple of years. I have not even attempted to use the new product. I believe at its core, it was founded to improve storytelling and presentation. But I think that's become lost in, as you say, the gimmickiness. That was hard.
The gimminess. You know, Prezi is interesting, not because the app is better than other presentation software out there. I think it was kind of ahead of a lot of the other ones. But Prezi really had some great marketing. I mean, their approach was, it gathered a lot of attention and a lot of use, more than any other software. PowerPoint hasn't really had to market itself because it comes on every office computer on the planet. Keynote never really marketed itself beyond the fact that we're here for creatives. So they kind of leveraged the whole PowerPoint idea and just said, we do that for creatives. And I think that was a good move because it worked. We spiked in requests like 2 years ago for Prezi. And this year we had one Prezi request or one Prezi project, I should say. So it's really...
They still have millions and millions of users. But I don't know. And I think it's more popular in Europe, more popular with education. Anybody listening, let us know like your experiences with the Prezi. I'm really curious. Like, I'm curious to know if you're like in a company and like the MBAs come in wanting to use Prezi, right, and they try it and it just doesn't work in a corporate environment. And so, you know, they abandon it. Like I really want to know who's using it and in what cases.
You know, I've been looking through a number of online presentation apps lately, and the numbers of those are suddenly just growing. And like I'm saying, Prezi was ahead of the track. They were the online app and it worked, but they also had an offline app. So maybe Prezi is back to needing, I mean, maybe it's still there, but I think they're back to needing to stand out more from the presentation arena. It's crowded now and it's hard to stand out. As a side note on that conversation, one of our early 2018 episodes, we have the original founder of Slide Rocket joining us for a conversation. And we'll be talking about online apps, presentation apps.
So let's continue talking about 2017. How was this year's presentation summit?
Well, I think I say this every year. I think I do. It was the best summit ever. And of course, the content was really, really great. But just the energy of the attendees and the community, it was really awesome.
Rick is tweeting that quote out right now as we don't even know how he heard it, but he's now tweeting it out.
That's funny.
You know, this was one of the only summits where I was not on the speaking or a host team in some way, and it worked out great. So I was just relaxed to talk with everyone. I really, really enjoyed the group time. It was fantastic. I did have to leave early, but I had a good excuse. I had to, you know, jump over to Spain, which was an awesome thing to do. It was very fun. So I, you know, that was part of the rationale. But, you know, and if I'm asked to present next year, I am totally great with that because the energy was really, it's an awesome event, but I think it was a great event for this year.
It was good.
It also corresponded with the Presentation Guild, you know, having their first annual meeting. So I think that actually to me was another energy level of like, oh my gosh, these are the people that are on the forums and, you know, we're connected with, and because I hadn't met a lot of those people.
I was happy to be able to convince a few people, some newer designers to attend.
Oh, you did.
Every couple of years I get some people to come. So, and then join the guild on top of it. So that's always nice.
Well, that's cool. And I did the same, and I always tell people you won't regret it. My very first conference, I was not on the staff. I wasn't presenting or anything like that. I tell people that it paid for itself within the first 10 minutes.
Who'd you meet? Who are you starstruck with?
It was Kathy. It was just a tool that I didn't know. I think it was toggling through uppercase and lowercase. And at the time,
so you got a tips and tricks right away.
Yeah, it was really great. I happened to have a project at the time that was in all caps and I had to change things. It was.
Yeah, we always pick up, all of us pick up new tricks every year. And I picked up a bunch this year and efficiency things and just stuff you didn't know could work. And
I hear you.
Let's just move it on. End of year fun, business or professional. I mean, we're pretty much there. This is it.
This is going to air. We're down to the Nolan design that holiday card or do it now or never.
Same here.
I do give myself.
Oh, you're doing that too?
Oh, yeah. I give myself a little, little cushion because it's always a New Year's card. It's not a holiday card. So it gives me an extra week. Oh.
Very good.
But I'm trying to work out.
I already have requests from people and I'm so behind.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. In the meantime, if I don't get to it, there's a link in the notes to my Dropbox where you can access all of the old ones. I tell you, I don't know how I did it. When I first started doing this, I had two little kids. I was growing my business and I was able to squeeze it in and I can't get to it as easily as I have in the past. But anyway, I'm excited to get it done. If people want to access it, then go ahead and look at the Dropbox link. And on Saturday, I leave for Paris.
What? Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to celebrate 25 years of wedded bliss.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
You have everything planned out, scheduled?
It's all planned. It's actually a cruise. We board in Paris. We cruise and stop at many places, including Giverny and remember. I know, but Giverny in December.
Wow. You
know.
But
it'll still be nice. Still. And then eventually end up in Normandy and then return. So I think 3 total days in Paris and then the rest is on the cruise.
Okay, I'm jealous. We're done talking to you.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Put your out of office on and enjoy.
Let's see here. End of year fun. Now I can't even think. That one sounds way more fun than anything I could say. So this month in December, it's if you want to go to our Facebook page, we did a TLC top 10, which was kind of cool. That was like a big fun thing for the business. Our holiday PowerPoint animation is online for everybody to enjoy. I'll throw a link to it in the show notes. It's 9 PowerPoint themed holiday animations that each of our everybody on our team did. And it's really amazing. I mean, it's really amazing. I use 3D. I use the 3D modeling, of course. So I was very excited to play with it. I have candy canes dancing in part of mine. 3D candy canes. Have a little fun. We do an amazing white elephant gift exchange, which is kind of grown in, I don't know if I want to say seriousness, but it's grown in over the years. So it's fun. So yeah, there's a lot going on. We also, our holiday card, Nolan, now that you mentioned it, it's kind of funny because we were struggling with it because now we have everybody kind of gives their idea for a holiday card. And we took a few and I think our holiday card is awesome. So when everybody gets it, hopefully you agree, it's going to be a lot of fun, but it took a lot of work. And this one's the print holiday card, not the animation one. We do an online PowerPoint animation. Then we send out a holiday card and this one's kind of a fun interactive one. So thinking it'll be fun.
Cool. All right. What else? Go back to Microsoft. What about the Office 365 rapid updates? We've kind of talked a little bit about that already, but that to me was a huge theme of 2017. Like I could barely turn a computer on without getting, do you want update? Do you want update? And it's gotten to a point where I'm a little scared each time to do an update, just because things have broken. On my Mac, I've downgraded to Insider Slow, because, mostly is Power.
Which is now renamed to Monthly Targeted.
Even on the Mac?
I
think it's still Slow and Fast on the Mac. I'll have to double check.
Oh, so much for continuity across platforms. Exactly. I don't even know that.
But for me, it's mostly the two programs I use mostly, which are PowerPoint and Outlook. Outlook kept breaking my signature line, like with updates, which was just frustrating. And the good part is you can at least get a hold of Microsoft. And I do this both as an MVP and as a, just regular citizen, usually the Outlook stuff. I just go, right to them and they're pretty responsive and they're like, yep, we know it's a problem and we're working on it.
It's been very, very fast. Sometimes it's a couple of weeks, which is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah. The signature thing took a long time.
So I'm with you, Nolan. I think I'm just more confused. I haven't had any bad things happen. It's just the scheduling that confuses me. That's all. Otherwise, I've not lost work. I've not had anything crash. I wonder if it's more so on the Mac. Have you, Troy, have you had problems with the updates ever other than confusion?
You know, I'm amazed at the pace of updates and feature fixes and new features. I mean, because I've been using PowerPoint for quite a while, and we used to, it was actually even more frustrating being on the Microsoft MVP, because you would hear about things and go, that's going to be fantastic. And you knew you weren't going to see it for 10 to 18 months. Now, if we hear about something, it's like, hey, this will probably come out in the next month or two for the insider beta program. And it'll probably be released to everybody within 3 months once we, you know, vet it out as stable, which, going back to my original comments, I think that's why some things come in and disappear, is that whole beta program is them vetting it out. Like, is this stable enough? Side note, I can't remember who it was now, just last week.
Yep.
So Mara, we talked about SVG, how you could group and then you couldn't ungroup, you know, it kind of went away. I think we talked about that in our last episode briefly. It was really funny because somebody just put out a whole tutorial, somebody we know, and I can't think of who it was, but I was like watching their tutorial going, oh, this is so bad. Because they have an online tutorial about how to ungroup, but it's gone. It's not available. Let's see. What else can I say about, are the updates good or bad? Well, not everything aligns. I agree. I think it's more on the Mac than the Windows side because, you know, the Mac is still struggling to catch. I mean, struggling is not the right word. The Mac is working to catch up and be in unity with the Windows side as far as the interface and the features and everything else. And in a, and then you throw on top of it all these rapid changes, things are, I would just figure, you know, things are going to break, as you explained, like email signatures, which you would think is a pretty simple thing, didn't work. What about collaboration? I'm just going to change the topic because collaboration, I'm kind of getting excited about, and I think it's going to be, well, I've been testing it on a number of these online presentation apps. I've been just kind of, you know, testing and playing around with. One thing I noticed is that virtually every app now has collaboration or multi-authoring or some other name for the same idea of more than one person can be in the file. Microsoft Office, I think they made some huge updates to collaboration. I mean, if we first heard about it a couple of years ago, I was like, oh yeah, never want to touch that. That looks finicky and it's really hard. And I think it's gotten easier. I know we're planning on doing a podcast. We're going to do a live collaboration in a few months. That's another 2018 one.
Yeah.
But have either of you used real-time collaboration or multi-authoring or whatever you want to call it this year?
Nope, never. But that is a that's a huge theme of 2017 and moving forward.
I think so.
Across all sorts of software and Microsoft knows they have to catch up. That was always one of the, you know, back to Prezi, one of the advantages there was from the get-go, they had collaboration and
exactly.
Yeah, multiple people could roll you know, log on to the same presentation. So, it's where things have to go.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I have used it a lot.
Really? Oh, great.
And it's very, and it's not like you, Troy, I didn't use it at the very beginning, but I would say the last year and a half, it's changed a little bit with time, but I love it. I absolutely love it.
You know, there was an article, I read about recently, I might've mentioned corporations moving away from Excel just because they've sort of had it. And one of the big, because Excel hasn't kept up. And one of the reasons was lack of collaboration.
Oh,
and, you know, really? a lot of these other sort of data viz and just sort of number crunching applications in the cloud and everything just allowed, you know, a whole bunch of people to just, you know, log on and work on multiple things. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to, I think it's 2017. This was the year it kind of stabilized or evolved. I think 2018 is where we're going to, well, it may be where we actually start getting a request for it from our clients. We haven't yet. And I'm okay with that.
Okay. So that brings up an interesting thing. What if clients want the presentation to always be up and they want to see you working on it and they want to be able to comment? That's kind of obnoxious, isn't it?
I've done that. I've had,
you have? Yep,
in the past with, it was before collaboration tool, I have to say, with my legal clients, we would literally be collaborating using GoToMeeting or some screen sharing tool.
But that's like a scheduled event.
Oh,
I think,
yeah.
That I could understand, like, hey, yeah, we're going to have a dedicated person and you're paying for this time because we're going to only focus on your event, which is what you're doing. But Nolan, I think what you're going for is what I'm kind of scared of is, hey, just put that presentation there and we'll pop in and look at your progress and you know, this, that, that could be scary. I hadn't really thought about it. Cause you know, a lot of times we'll take a presentation, like a big medical deck, you know, it's 300 slides of reformatting. If the, if somebody wanted to collaborate on that, that would be difficult because we could, well, I guess it would be a collaboration thing. We divide it up among three designers. Like, hey, you take this, you take this. And sometimes the designer will just work on redraws, all these charts that just need to be rebuilt. And they're not working in the main deck. We'll just, you know, they'll just take like the 12 slides. They're going to take them all day long to format. And they're kind of working in a sideline world, not in the main deck. And then we pop them in. That would be a hard collaboration
request. Yeah, you need, you know, when you're doing a Google Slides thing, which you don't do often, but the first thing you have to do is make a new copy that the client is not, you know, shared on, because you just don't want, you don't want them seeing what you're doing when you're doing it until the time is right.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I think collaboration, I think it's stabilized in 2017 as far as technology. In 2018, like the rules of engagement are going to start to form.
So what about changing the subject? What about hardware? What changes, improvements have you guys seen?
Oh, 2017 was huge for that. For me, it's all about graphics power and how do I take PowerPoint and make it do whatever this production company has envisioned. Because I want to still author in PowerPoint because it is the most... It's really, really a great platform for building out multimedia content that is editable in a very quick and fashion. It's just got a lot of advantages over saying, let's do it all in After Effects and then render it and then put it in here. I mean, I can do phenomenal things there, but there's a much larger time frame. In addition, you can't hand that content off to the client to reuse in any way later. So for me, the big improvement this year was across all of the graphics companies, or the big three. I'll just say NVIDIA, AMD, and then I'll include Intel in there because they've all released new generations of their graphics cards, with a side note that Intel doesn't have a actual graphics card. They're using shared memory, but they had a big improvement in their performance. So I think that's huge on the whole jump in all three of the companies, and it's cool.
Yeah. And when it comes to Mac hardware, I think, I think Apple has continued to disappoint its user base when it comes to hardware. Still no touchscreen laptops or desktops. Mm-hmm. I think they got outflanked by the Surface Studio. Sandy, I know you have one. I think they've been a little misguided on the MacBooks. Some people like the Touch Bar. A lot of people don't. But like the one, you know, the continued removal of ports, especially for people who present and need those ports, is, again, I think misguided. They got rid of their cinema display. I had to buy one of the last ones on Craigslist to get one. You know, just lack of updates in general on their desktop computers. All their energy is going into the phones. All right. I won't go any further on that because we can go on.
Hey, you know what? On the Touch Bar on the MacBook Pro, I will say I'm amazed by how much it does. I was kind of, now I'll also preface this. We haven't upgraded our MacBooks to the new generation with the Touch Bar because I didn't really see a need for it. But when I've used them, which over the past few months I've been, you know, I've been in a situation where we've used them in Keynote, that little Touch Bar is really cool. It becomes literally a microfiche size thumbnail film strip, but it shows your next five slides dynamically. When you're, if you want to use it for volume, it becomes like the whole bar becomes a slider for your volume. I think it's really cool how they integrated it. I just think they're missing it on the whole touchscreen interface. Hardware, I'd have to actually look it up. I'm not sure they're even using the new generation of graphics cards in the new model that just came out does, right? I'll look it up. Anyways, they were the only computer that didn't upgrade to the new graphics card, probably because they need so many of them. It would be a hard deal to put in place. But I was really disappointed when the new MacBook Pros came out and they were not using the NVIDIA 10 series of graphics cards or the AMD. Oh, I forgot the name. Anyways, they didn't upgrade. Everybody else did. And we went to MSI because they did. And I'm very excited about MSI working.
What about going back to software? What's non-PowerPoint, non-presentation software? Any big updates this year?
I think there was a lot of them.
Snagit was new. They came out with a new version.
Yep.
They did. And I'm actually struggling with the interface. I kind of like the old interface more than the new one, which is really funny. And it might be just because I'm a legacy user, but like things, I had to hunt really hard to go find the setting to say, don't capture my mouse.
Oh,
like
yes.
In the snags, yes. You know, in the screen captures. And it was not intuitive to me, but the power of the program is really cool. I really didn't see a whole lot of changes, you know, some new features. Well, the whole reordering and stuff like that, you know, building your dynamic, mm-hmm. it's becoming more and more of a full function tool, design tool almost. Mm-hmm. But that was a huge one. Camtasia released a new version, and I think they continue to, they just continue to compete with video editing software. I mean, it's their stuff's pretty cool, very user friendly.
I use Snagit. I like it.
What do you use, Nolan?
Non-apps. I mean, Adobe Creative Suite was huge. A good new release. So that's my. I don't really use Snagit. I know Camtasia had a new version. I use that occasionally.
Hey, on Adobe Creative Cloud, did everybody do the? It's really funny. We're at the end of 2017, but we just upgraded to every program is 2018. Photoshop 2018, Illustrator 2018. You guys are all updated there. Has anybody had a problem with Photoshop? Like actually launching?
Nope.
No? Oh, well, good. Oh, you're on a Mac.
Yeah.
No, this is a very Windows thing. Sandy?
When I first opened it after the update, I couldn't find anything. I had to navigate many, many places to get my normal setup. You know, the normal palette.
The whole UI interface look. Yeah. All your palettes and stuff.
Yeah. The whole UI. Yeah. It defaulted to something I wasn't familiar with at all.
Well, they have a new touch look too. And we keep having that problem. Every time we open Illustrator, it wants to default to a touch interface. I'm like, mm-hmm. No, we're on a full system. I want those menus. I had a huge issue with Photoshop. I had to actually go back to 2015 version to get it to stably open. And I think it was more of a problem with the NVIDIA graphics card. I was just talking about how much they were cool. I think Adobe came out before everything was set because it wasn't just me. It was a number of people on our design team. Okay. Like Photoshop just would open and then give you an error report instantly. So I go online and it turns out there are like thousands of people with the same issue. Side note, if you're not able to open Photoshop at this stage, we resolved it on our computers by going into the graphics to the NVIDIA control panel and basically saying, do not use Intel, make NVIDIA graphics card the processor for Photoshop. Well, I think it was the handoff between the two that was killing it for us. Because as soon as we made that change, every computer was happy again. You know, another one that was big for me, so this is totally non-PowerPoint or even presentation, is Windows 10, first of all, had some big updates with the creators update. And then what they call the last one, the fall update,
fall creators update.
Oh, it's creators. Okay. Fall.
Yeah.
Have you guys used, so Nolan, this has been on the Mac for years. So don't say, if you click on your little internet connection in Windows 10 creators, like if you're on Wi-Fi or wired, you click on that little thing. In the lower right is a thing called mobile hotspot. Have you ever seen that, Sandy? This thing is amazing.
I have not. So wait a minute.
It is amazing. So if you're online.
Yep.
And I do this backstage all the time because a lot of times I'll get one internet cable. It's going to be used for the computer that needs to, you know, download files. So I'll put it in my computer. I can now turn my computer into a hotspot with two clicks. It's amazing. Nolan, Macs have done it for years.
Turn the Mac into a hotspot?
Oh yeah, you haven't done that?
Okay. No, I don't think I've ever done that. I use my phone as a hotspot.
No, you can totally do it on a Mac. It takes a few more clicks. This one on the Windows 10 though, their mobile hotspot, everybody should go look at it. You have to go into the settings and set the SSID name. So mine's just called TLC Creative One. And then you put a password so it's not something generic. Click mobile hotspot and it's pretty darn amazing because it has a bigger antenna than your phone. And so like if you're in a coffee shop or a hotel, maybe that's a better example. You're in a hotel, you're going to pay for your internet for one computer. Great. I pay for it for this one. I make it a hotspot. All my other computers, my phone, my iPad, everything else can get on. It's a big addition. So, I'm really excited about it.
I think on the Mac, you have to have a hard wired connection.
No, right? You can make your wireless.
No, yeah. I mean, you can't be on a wireless network and broadcast a wireless network at the same time, right?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can? Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm saying this is almost absolute authority only because I don't do it, but I know a couple other people that do.
I don't have much experience with it.
But anyway, it's really, really easy on Windows Mobile, Windows 10 now, mobile hotspot.
Okay, so you have to tell me I'm in the mobile hotspot screen. I turn on share my internet connection with other devices.
Yep.
Right?
Set a password and if then, you...
Okay, let's not do it. I don't want to take it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now that I just connected mine and probably killed the podcast recording for a few minutes, we'll go back to it's a really cool feature. Yeah. It's one of those non-presentation things that just changed my world in 2017 because it's so easy to use. And I do it off my phone all the time, but this is a little more robust and it's pretty dang cool.
Cool.
Going back to PowerPoint. What do we got in PowerPoint world?
Yeah, let's go to something we know really well.
Big thing in 2017, Morph, keep talking about. It sort of fundamentally changed. Well, did it release in 2017 or late 2016? But regardless, 2017 is where it really came into being. And yeah, it's kind of just like fundamentally changed how I animate. And that I animate a lot more now than I used to. Just because I still keep going back to this observation that somebody made that you almost have to use it to tell a story. It's hard to use it poorly, it's hard to use it not in a storytelling context.
Gratuitously, it's hard.
There you go. So it's not just pizzazz. So yeah, I use it all the time, and I'm getting kind of frustrated when clients don't have it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big thing too. I would say, like Nolan said, Morph has changed how we approach animation in PowerPoint. Magic Move, which is the same motion animation concept as Morph, it's been a keynote for years. Morph, at least, well, for me, was an easy transition because I could suddenly apply the familiar concepts of Magic Move to PowerPoint. So it wasn't, I felt it was like something missing. So for me, it was like, oh my gosh, this is phenomenal. We can finally use it. Our design team, who hadn't used Keynote as much, you know, we gave them we gave them some open-ended time, like, hey, create animation so everybody can get familiar with this. And some of the outpouring of that was good. You know, it had to have been late 2016, Nolan, just to bring it up, because this presentation summit, I didn't speak. The presentation summit prior, I did a whole Morph. One of my sessions. And I basically just sat up there for the first 10 minutes of it just saying, okay, here's what my design team put together. And I pulled like 50 of their animations and everybody was just, it's still a very cool presentation because it was just stuff moving and doing stuff you couldn't do in PowerPoint easily before or at all. I will say Morph has some improvements over the Magic Move, but I still like Magic Move's ability to interpret and rearrange animate text better than Morph. I think it's huge. That's a huge one. What about 3D models? This is my other big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really promising. It's very cool. It's going to be very dangerous. you're going to start seeing, you know, spinning teddy bears.
Oh, I know. We got an example yesterday. It wasn't used very well. No, it will be dangerous. I liken it to the original animation features in PowerPoint 2000. I don't know, whenever. When did animation first become a big deal in PowerPoint? It's what gave PowerPoint a bad name. It could potentially be misused.
Oh, it will be. It will be misused.
Abused.
Misused. But at the same time, for those who can use it well.
Yeah. For example,
it's going to be huge.
I have a client who, I know this sounds really woohoo, but I have a client who builds corrugated boxes.
Somebody's got to
do it. And 3D animation is working really well for those custom files. So I would say when you have a custom 3D file created, that's probably the most appropriate use of 3D modeling rather than the library. But I'm not saying don't go to Remix. What is it called? 3D Remix?
3D Remix, which is a pretty cool offering for Microsoft to invest money into to make 3D models available to everybody. Like all of our examples, we're using models from there and they're always lower quality than we use for real projects, but it's there. You know, I think 2017, I think everybody's going to look at 2017 as the year was a major design shift came into place with the native support of 3D models, not just 3D art, but 3D models. Mm-hmm. And as a side note, this one's really bugging me at this stage. A lot of agencies and software companies are using like 3D, I'm putting air quotes up, 3D in their marketing language and what they can, what they can do. And it's not real 3D. They're maybe creating 3D looking art, or they're maybe making motion that's like flat art moving around. They're calling it 3D. I think it's going to be a big problem going forward next year where real 3D is actually here. And suddenly all these people have been using the word or phrase 3D are really going to need to change what it means.
It's not a 3D chart. The old PowerPoint 3D chart.
That's a great example because that's not 3D.
SVG support we talked about a little bit. That was added. Good and bad. I mean, generally good. It's still not on the Mac, unfortunately. SVGs, as we talked about, they could be ungrouped, then they couldn't. Now I think we're back to that. But and it's the right direction. It's definitely the right direction because SVGs are being used all over the place. I think we decided here it's still not recommended that we start throwing in SVG logos and stuff because of backwards compatibility. But eventually, that's, I think, where it'll go. DataViz, Excel, I was talking about some corporations moving away from it, but on the specific DataViz side of Excel and PowerPoint, nothing really budged in 2017. You know, charting is, and data storytelling is exploding, but it's, to me, starting to feel like the old video engine that was right around for like way more years than it should have been. And IV charts are the new format, and we've got about six or seven of those new ones, only on the PC, and they're still not perfect. But it's time to move. It's time to move, guys, and sort of.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
It has, and we know they're working on it, but work faster, because you know people are going to really start leaving on the data viz side.
You know, there was a lot of new additions in very kind of niche things, and I was hoping for bigger universal changes. I mean, there was things like what's it called? Quick starter. You know, the thing that'll kind of generate a presentation for you based on online content, you know, acquisition. It's kind of an AI type of move. I think it's more novelty than practical. So, but a lot of effort obviously went into that. Glitter pens, we mentioned those. I mean, those are very cool, but I would have rather seen a lot of DataViz stuff show up. You know, the other things are, you know, to go along, because when the glitter pens, the whole inking thing was released, they released that ruler, that online ruler, which I bet very few people listening have ever seen it. It's an actual, looks like an elementary school ruler. You can put on your screen, you can rotate it, you can use it for drawing lines, create, you know, dialing in the exact angle, but it only works on a touch interface, a touch screen. I think it's a very cool tool. So now it's become this total niche little tool that used a lot of time and energy when it could have gone into like what you wanted, Dolan, DataViz, put the resources there.
I've forgotten that it's there and it works beautifully on my Surface.
It's a cool tool,
studio.
But exactly. Big, only use it on my Surface.
The big screen of a studio, you stand up and you can.
Oh, that's
awesome. That's enviable. Cool. But again, I.
You know, the other thing, Nolan, you were talking about DataViz. You know what really bugs me is there's been no updates to table formatting, no design. Feature updates, no animation capabilities. That is just like a legacy thing that is going to kill the use of tables at some point.
In Excel or PowerPoint or
both. Well, animating would obviously be in PowerPoint, but just the whole styling. I mean, we got IV charts to create some new styles of charts, but tables are...
Especially it's not sexy, especially, you know, at a time when people are using PowerPoint more for reports and printed documents and everything. And I, you know, in my DataViz training, I do a small section on table design. And I always introduce it, I say tables are not sexy, but they're a necessary evil. And it doesn't mean they shouldn't look good. And, you know, and I said, so now we're going to talk about making them look good and function good. I know I said this is the least sexy part of today, but it's necessary. And so
it's a time consuming thing. Yeah. It really, really is.
To be fair, table styling in InDesign is not perfect either. It's kind of clunky. And I generally don't. Do you ever do table styles in InDesign?
It's hard. We almost always do them in Illustrator and bring them in.
Yeah, it's hard. And I generally just ignore it because it's just easier to manually do it each time. So.
Anything else, Sandy? You got any? I mean, there's disappointments, there's goods.
Have we beaten 2017 into the ground?
Was 2017 a great year? Yes. I mean, I think for us, we had fun. We had 24 episodes of continuous conversations. We all stayed busy enough. But is there room for more to happen in 2018? I would say yes. Not even with new stuff, just fixing or building on the stuff that was put in place or ignored in 2017. Wow, our 24th podcast episode of 2017, and a great way to wrap up another fantastic year. I am excited to see how fast things evolve in 2018 with software updates, mega screens, sizing, 3D model use, and more. And now that I've said that, maybe I should say I'm a bit concerned with how fast things may change in 2018, because it could be a lot to keep up with. Hey, but I hope We all agree that 2017 was good for business. It was good for design. It was really good for the presentation industry. And I hope it was good for time with everyone else. I mean, I had fun with us getting together a couple of times each month. And I'm excited about our lineup of topics for 2018 that we've already put together, which is, as I said, season 3 of the Presentation Podcast. So thanks for joining us.
Okay. Well, so let's talk. Every once in a while, we like to feature reader mail, reader emails. And not too long ago, we received an email from Yo-Yo, who's in Yemen.
Absolutely. And he's got his own presentation business. He's got a newsletter and some products. So,
and we should say Yo-Yo is like his shortened name. It's, It's Yusuf Abu, and I cannot pronounce the surname, the last name.
We apologize.
Yo-Yo from Yemen, you're awesome. We're going to go with there.
But he had a request, actually, which was an interesting one. He wanted to talk. He asked us if we could talk about millennial approaches to presentation design, which is interesting. Neither of us are millennials. I think we would agree. Although some of us are raising millennials, right? but it's a question. I mean, it is a question. I mean, what we talked about, you know, younger people, at least, you know, coming out of college right now, like Prezi. But that's a good question. What's an approach for millennials? Are there differences? Do you guys let us know? Like, do you get requests from your millennial clients or your millennial audiences? Do you see things? Are you doing things differently for them?
Is software an issue? You know, is it more they'd rather use Prezi or Haiku Deck or whatever's out there? Let us know about that.
Online versus installed software, I guess, would be kind of one of the big differences.
So here's what Yo-Yo had to say. He said, I've noticed that millennials have a different approach. They are leaking creativity and always find the right way to incorporate that into their design. Just last week, I had someone ask me if it's okay to put stuff like hashtag boss babe in their presentation.
I thought that was just awesome because this is a very different culture, but yet it's the same conversation we get. and I love the phrase that the millennials are leaking creativity because they just have so much more to draw on. I mean, when I started in the design field, we were hoarding magazines and you know, publications to get references. Now you can hop on your phone and get more design creativity ideas.
Yeah.
Then it's true. I think it's an amazing topic. I don't know how I would say what to do about it.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to address it, but if anybody else has experience or thoughts on it, just drop us a line. And you should be dropping us a line right after you give us a rating in iTunes.
Okay, so let's move on to pro and tech tips because I got a good one this week. I'm pretty excited about it because I actually figured something out. I'll save mine to the end here.
All right, Sandy, what do you got?
Yeah, well, mine's just a silly little hack. Every once in a while, you may have a need to use what I call the swoosh arrow. You know, it's not a straight. The shapes tools have very perpendicular, straight on arrows.
Boring, bland, 2D. Yep. Flat
now,
art.
In the past, I tried drawing the arrows, and I'm not very good with Bezier curves, or I wasn't. So I learned when SmartArt came along that you can break SmartArt, and there are two options, upward arrow and downward arrow. And if you ungroup those or convert to shapes, it leaves you with that swoosh arrow, and it leaves the edit handles on there. So you can make the swoosh part narrower. You can make the arrow larger. It's very customizable. So yes, a silly little hack, but I found it very helpful in a few cases.
No, it's interesting that it leaves the handles, so it doesn't just do points. So that is, that's interesting. Cool. Well, I've got another PowerPoint specific thing I never knew about. I just discovered. I don't think I'm really going to use it, but it's interesting. So QAT, we both love Quick Access Toolbar. It lives locally on, from what I always knew, was it lives locally on your desktop computer. So it doesn't travel with the file. However, there is another version of it. So if you create your QAT by default, whatever, it stays on your computer, but you can also add QAT additions on a per file basis. And
what?
when you go to the QAT to customize it, there's a pull down at the top. And the default is, I don't have it in front of me, but the default is, whatever
oh,
the default
I see
is.
That.
But if you pull down, the other option says something to the effect of like, just for this file, or you can actually it gives the name of the file. And I think if you have multiple files open, it'll let you pick that.
Yes, it's on the right side of your dialog. It says customize quick access toolbar, and underneath default is for all documents default.
So what this other option has, if you pull down, it will allow you to add more functions, and then those get appended to your default QAT on
really?
A per file basis. So let's say you have, you have your normal like QAT that has 10 functions, and then you have file A that you, for whatever reason, really want your drawing tools in your QAT, but you don't want them anywhere else. Then you add it just for that file, and it gets appended at the end of your default QAT. So it's a little, I'm having trouble like really seeing the purpose of it, but I guess if you wanted to create a template for somebody and you really wanted them to have certain tools, you could do that and add it to the template file, and those would always appear in the QAT.
I could theorize some very cool uses for that. So I'm very excited. Nolan, I'm going to look it up.
You know, I guess like if you have training files with an audience and you really want them to have certain things and you don't want to go through them loading, QATs, you could do it that way.
Okay, so here's mine. And I think Sandy stole my intro line in that this is just kind of like a little side hack, but it's pretty exciting. It has nothing to do with PowerPoint or presentation world at all. And I did put a blog post out about this. So if you read the PowerPoint blog on November 30th, there was a thing about this. But my thing is I use Spotify, so I'm listening to music a lot of times when I'm designing. Right now, it's been all holiday music. By the way, Spotify has a huge holiday collection of playlists. My problem was I'm in a hotel, I'm working, this is a better example. I'm in a hotel and it's just noisy outside. And I just want some music to kind of drown out the noise outside. Spotify is missing a timer, a sleep timer. Like Pandora has it. Every music app has a sleep timer. Like, hey, play music for the next 90 minutes or 2 hours or whatever, and then turn it off. And I found out that the Apple timer, like, so this is only an Apple iPhone or iPad thing. But you open up the timer, the countdown timer, it's right next to the alarm clock. And one of the features is stop playing music. So if you want your Spotify to turn off, you bring up your playlist, hit it playing, go jump over to the timer, change it to, 90 minutes at the very bottom, go through all the noises, all the different tones and everything else that it can make when the timer goes off, and change it to say stop playing audio, and it turns off Spotify. It's like an amazing hack. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. We've got a website, we've got a blog, we've got a podcast, we've got a Facebook page. Come check us out and have a great start to the new year.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website at presentationwiz.biz, the Guild website at presentationguild.org, or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint in your web browser and you'll learn all kinds of things about me.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if you're interested in custom training on data viz or presentation design, that's what we do. So give us a call.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.